for Lakeshore Public Radio comes from Anderson's Winery in Valparaiso, Indiana. Now featuring live music Sundays from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Serving wide selections of wine, light snacks, flatbreads, baked brie, and cheese plates. Learn more at andersonswinery.com. Support for Let's Eat comes from Bombs Natural Foods. More than just supplements, Bombs offers massages, ion cleanses, a juice bar, and an educated staff for all of your questions. Bombs Natural Foods, with locations in Merrillville, Highland, and bombsnaturalfoods.com.
It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Hey, good afternoon, Lakeshore listeners. We're sitting here live in the studio in Merrillville, 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio. We're all jacked up with some mead. I mean, this whole place is. If we had a camera, you would just see a sea of people drinking some really tasty mead, don't you think, Jose?
Yeah, I have never seen this many people back here.
I know.
Like other
guests. I've done turkeys. I've done all
whole
kinds
turkeys.
Of whole turkeys.
Thanksgiving dinners.
Yeah. And all of a sudden we got a...
Just
a,
got some mead and then...
Meeting with mead.
It's almost like it should be called weed.
Oh. Oh, wait.
As in me, weed. Weed,
yeah, that's me, it, yeah. Weed. I understand.
Sorry for that.
Well, thanks for joining us. We're here on Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. And Jose is standing in for Sharon Jackson.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
It's Sharon, always a pleasure.
Sharon's, I think, traveling down south somewhere in Texas.
Vacation. Yeah.
Vacation.
Warm vacation.
Yeah, she needs that. Yeah. We're get away from this cold. It's going to be nasty this weekend. Did you hear how cold it's going to get?
No.
It's almost going to be like another vortex.
A vortex?
Almost. Tom Skilling said it's right there at the edge.
See, the groundhog said...
He didn't have any mead.
Oh.
That was a problem.
That was it.
Why don't they give the groundhog some mead? And then he would probably give it, you know, the right prediction out there.
Last time I was here, didn't someone say they barbecued a groundhog?
Oh, let's not talk about that right now.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we're in a happy mood.
That is true.
Yeah, so how things been going, Jose?
For me, pretty well.
Pretty well. Staying busy?
Yeah, staying busy, staying positive.
Yeah, trying to wait out this weather.
I've been trying, yep.
Yeah,
trying to fast forward.
I know, very fast. Oh, we need some sun because I have no energy. At all. The sun, I think, gives me some energy.
Vitamin C, yeah.
Or D.
One of them.
Vitamin Mead.
Vitamin Mead.
There we go.
We can say that one, yeah.
So, folks, thanks for joining us here on 89.1 FM. Today in the studio, we have Tony from Matic Meadery. And Tony wants you to call in. He's got some gift cards from the Matic Meadery. I have gift cards from Chef Nick's Eatery. Give us a call, 769-9577, 769-9577 and get your gift card from both places. So we want to hear your questions, right? We want to make sure you're out there. You're listening.
Yeah, please call and get some free gift cards. 219-769-9577.
So without any further ado, we're going to introduce Tony. So what's up, Tony?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Tony is the owner and operator and head winemaker of... And you can correct me, the Matic Meadery out of Crown Point. You're on Summit Street?
Yes, we're at 1003 Summit right there next to Niemeyer's Landscape, next to the building with City Electric in it and Blacklisted Tattoos. And we're in a little unit there. It's about 3,300 square feet. We have half of that is production area where we make all our mead, wine, and cider. And the other half is tasting room with an occupancy of about 50 or so people. We're open Thursday through Sunday right now because of my partner and I, Keith Cantwell, pretty much do everything. I think you forgot to add plumber to the list of my credentials.
Okay.
That was my list last night.
How it is when you own a place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know how that goes.
Yes, I do.
And so basically we're there all the time, but our public hours are Thursday 4 to 9, Friday 4 to 11, Saturday 1 to 11, and Sunday 1 to 6.
You know, Jose, when you pull up there, the operation, your meadery is more on the side of the building, and it doesn't give it justice to when you open the door and you see how cool the place looks inside.
Really? Okay.
It's really, really a sharp decor. Why don't you give us a feeling of what the atmosphere is like in there, like how the tables look. Well, this is radio,
yeah.
So paint us a picture.
Well... All right, I guess the highlight of our tasting room, like you said, you walk in.
It's totally different what you think it is.
Yeah,
you
pull up to the place, you're thinking to yourself, all right, am I at Fast
Storage.
At all? Yeah, you don't really know what's going on. When you open that door, we have a real modern sort of retro modern vibe mixed with a little bit of mania that goes with our name. We're very into different arts, and Keith and I are both musicians for life, so we have a lot of music themes going on, a lot of psychology and sociology and philosophy themes going on with our artwork. The centerpiece is most definitely the floor, which I like to call like lava honey kind of flow. It's an epoxy floor. It has like a orange, yellow, and metallic copper vibe that's swirled in, and I'm pretty sure every single person that walks into the door comments on the floor. And then we have a blacked out ceiling with lots of different lighting zones, a real nice warm color temperature on the lights. The seating is basically your standard cafe style tables that can be moved around. We have a bar that seats about a dozen people that's got more of a white. It's kind of the contrast in the room and the doors. The bar has a white quartz with some sparkly mirror kind of flex in it and a black granite bottom part. And our bar is kind of another centerpiece. We play music right now. No live music yet. We just haven't quite gotten there yet. But play music. Our artwork is, like I said, is all representative of the arts in general. Our philosophy is to bring. Sort of this business is an expression of ourselves in the art and the culinary aspect of making wine. And also it's a business, so we were learning that part.
Well, Tony, you know, we were talking about expression of yourself. Tell us a little about yourself, like a little background, maybe some of the odd jobs you had in the past.
Oh, wow.
Things like that. Where you graduated from.
Gotcha. So I graduated Munster High School in 1999.
Well, young.
And came from Hammond, moved to Munster, and... That was a college prep school. It was very much in the beginning of you must go to college mentality and the phasing out of shop class and whatnot. However, I came from a working class family who was fantastic and, you know, really taught me how to take care of myself and be self-sufficient with, you know, whether it's cutting your own hair or changing your oil or living within your means, which I didn't always listen to.
Yeah.
But... music was my passion. A band called Groovitron, who technically still exists. We play approximately 2 to 4 shows a year now. Mm-hmm. Same members since the year 2000. Mm. So I suppose that's about 19
like brothers.
Years. Yes, we are indeed brothers. It's half my life right now.
What genre would you say?
We called it schizophrenic rock. So I guess everything in my life ends up having a mental health theme.
I like it. I can get down.
So, yeah, we call it schizophrenic rock. We were considered right in the middle of the early parts of the jam band scene. Lots of improv, fusion, funk, but we dabbled into reggae, hip-hop, country, klezmer, punk.
There's actually a call for a lot of that, like especially in the 219.
We kind of just started encroaching on the live electronica scene right when that was getting big, and then... Of course, life took over, and we started to seek bigger and brighter things than sleeping in vans and touring around college towns, which I think the best I can tell was around 1,500 shows we played, majority of those being in a 4 to 5 year block. We toured and made no money. I think I claimed about $6,000 in income between 2002 and 2005 for Social Security.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
That's what it is, being a rock star.
It's definitely glamorous.
Now, you could definitely be a rock star and pursue other things.
Well, like, so that's what led me into what I ultimately did for money when I found out that I was going to be a father after I met my wife and we got engaged. We had a little, whoops surprise, and that was my son Cameron, who's going to be 11 tomorrow.
11?
Cameron. Yeah.
Wow.
Cameron Qualls, 11 tomorrow. Happy birthday, Cam.
Wow.
He's going cosmic bowling tonight in the downtown Crown Point.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a cool place.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
So, yeah, that basically, when you're home on the road, which I was on the road 150 to 200 days a year, you're doing what you can. So, I worked at theater at the center in Munster. I did a lot of carpentry. Mm-hmm. I ushered. I did all kinds of theater work, sound, lighting, all that stuff that was associated with live production. And then from there, I got into the corporate world once I needed to get a real paycheck.
Yeah.
And started touring for a company called Center Stage Productions in South Holland. I was with them for just over 10 years and kind of developed their scenic department. I became certified welder and did upholstery and painting and
okay, so you did all this wild stuff. Why would you start a meadery?
Well, so
I mean, you had the glamorous life.
Yeah,
you?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that to incorporate.
Well, essentially, the corporate job really wasn't for me. I enjoyed the company I worked with and the employees that we had. Traveling, I was getting old after my second child. It really started to take a toll on me.
And what's the name of your second child?
Cadence, and okay. She will be six in a month.
Beach.
Cadence, oh, wow. And Cameron, yeah.
Wow.
She's my little firecracker.
Yeah.
And so once we decided we need to get serious, I had to get that job. And at first it was great, and I learned a lot, and then I kind of grew out of it, I think. And fortunately for me, they let go of me due to... I would say secret political reasons. And they gave me a severance, which was fantastic. And this was June, 2 years ago, this June. So it was about a year and a half ago, a little less, about a year and 8 months ago. And they sent me away with a paycheck to leave. And that prompted me at the time, I was really getting into home brewing, winemaking, cider making, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to have a brewery. And I figured the market on a business perspective was a little saturated. So being influenced by my recent love for the newfound world of mead making and fruit wine making, I started to pursue that. And I convinced, finally, I've been trying to convince Keith Cantwell, my a lifelong best friend, to take all of his life savings and, you know, throw the dice on a business opportunity. And I've tried to do this several times, and it's probably a good thing that he said no a lot of those times.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one that, you know, we kind of collabed on and got psyched about, and we were really starting to think about it before I got let go. And then once I got let go from my job, it was
like flipped the switch.
It was instantaneous. And when I go into something, I go all in. I just go, it's either all or nothing for me, full speed ahead. And that's what we did. We started planning it. We made hundreds of test batches in the year. We started finding a location. We got our funds together, and just everything started happening at once. I got entrenched in the mead community. I moderate the largest mead community on Facebook called Modern Mead Makers, which is owned by John Talkington. And Carvin Wilson helps out a lot on that one, too, for admin. And John Talkington owns Brimminghorn Meadery. He used to brew for Dogfish Head for years and is old school winemaker. Learned a lot from that guy. And, you know, just basically taking the mentorship of the online community, I was able to just get a lot of feedback and kind of silently sit there, learn things, start contributing on my own, doing my own research. And I became a mead judge, a BJCP mead judge, got involved in as many things as I could, started doing comps, entering comps, all this stuff all at once while we were planning an opening. So it was pretty wild. It was a lot to take on. And the balance with Keith, my partner, is very, very much like a marriage in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I'm the, you know, jump in with my clothes off guy, and he's the dip his toe in and say, nah, it's too warm or too cold. And it's nice. You know, he's the more risk averse. He's more real a lot of times. I'm a little bit more out there. So it's a nice balance. And yeah. So far it's been working out really well.
That's how a good marriage is.
Yeah, you're not kidding me. Yeah.
So your meadery is fairly new, isn't it?
Yes, 10 weeks we've been open.
Really? How's been the response been?
It's been amazing.
Amazing.
Yes.
So for people out there that are trying to start businesses, what medias did you go through to get the word out?
Well, I kind of skipped a lot of parts of other things I did. While I had this last job I did, I owned a company with a friend of mine, Scott Hansen, called Blade Co. And Blade Co. sold custom knives made by independent makers all over the world, but mostly U.S. and Canada I dealt with. And basically, this is what I say, it's man jewelry. These are really nice custom knives, and it's a tradition that goes way back to hunting and just knife making in general. But the new thing with Instagram, especially at the time, social media, you know, folks get these knives from these makers. You become, you know, cool because you're in that maker's club because they're a good guy and they make amazing knives. And, you know, it's kind of like a collector thing, and you start taking pictures with your knives.
That's kind of a big
carrying
market,
knives.
Too,
it's a huge, yeah. And I got into it trying to legit just sell something online extra, because I've dealt vintage audio and vinyl on eBay since the early 2000s and have a big obsession for things like that. And I always had side jobs, even when I had my full-time job. So I always fill up the schedule. So the knife thing became really cool, and we fell into the custom world that I had no idea existed. And we were selling knives. I think our average knife price from the stuff we were doing from these custom makers was around $700 a piece.
Yep.
I sold knives that were up to like $3,000-$4,000. Mm-hmm. My partner Scott ended up selling his share to me, and I just couldn't do it anymore without him. He was very important, but he left to make his own knives, and now he's selling $1,200 knives, and he's doing fantastic. He lives in Tennessee right now. And so I had that, and I kind of trickled it out. I couldn't handle it on my own. Scott really contributed a lot that I wasn't able to do with my job. So I basically still had that kind of fading out as I lost my job, and I liquidated the rest of it along with my severance to kind of hobble along as we were starting Manic. So, yeah, that's been I guess being in the high-end market and the social media is where you originally, I think, were pointing that question. Yeah. Social media was something I was already pretty decent at. I had, you know, Blade Co. had, you know, at one time 10,000 followers on Instagram, and I sold probably 60 to 70% of our products on there. So right when we started our branding and decided we want to do this, I started a social media feed, and, you know, I really did what I like to do, which is update people with what we're doing. People can see process. People can see ingredients we're using. People can see what we're up to, because that's what I like to see when I look at stuff. And I started doing that as a homemaker, and people watched my journey. Excuse me. They watched my journey all the way through till we opened. And actually, Facebook's been even more lucrative than Instagram. Mm. So our Facebook page right now is excellent. Folks communicate and really follow our page, and that's kind of how I update everyone. Since we're a two-man show, and actually just barely a three-man show, because we just hired our first employee, David. He's okay. Serving. He's actually there right now, covering the slack that while I'm here.
Yeah, while you're drinking.
Yeah, right. And so now that we do that, the Facebook thing's been big. We have a website that's under development, so we'll be getting that rolling. We just got our first big merch order in. We only have a few things now, but we'll have merch starting next week. We have a big release coming up. We're upscaling. We're looking at canning systems. I mean, it's just one thing after the other. Basically, the last 10 weeks, you know, every dollar that came through the door went right back into reinvestment into our infrastructure and scaling up so we could, you know, support what we think we can do in that place. So we're doing well. It's been fun. We work 100 plus hours a week. I haven't had a day off since Christmas, and that was the only day off I had for many months. So, but, you know, I do focus. I focus on just this now, which is kind of liberating to me anyway.
Yeah.
So I have, my hobbies are all on the back burner. I have no other businesses. This is 100% of my time, that and what I can give to my family when I'm hanging out, which is crazy. Yeah.
Folks, you're listening to Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick, and Jose. We're sitting here on 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio, and we have Tony from Matic Mead out of Crown Point. And we want you to call in 769-9577. That's 769-9577. Ask Tony a question about mead.
And get some gift cards,
right,
too.
From Matic Mead and Chef Nick Seedery, 769-9577. Okay, why is mead different than wine? They kind of taste sort of the same, but your stuff was smooth, though.
Yeah, so actually preparing for this, or actually just checking out your website, I listened to the one you did with Misbehaving, and a similar question was asked and about mead. And, you know, Clint, who owns Misbehaving Meads, is very in tune with the history of mead and that kind of thing. So he gave a pretty good explanation. But essentially, it's the way I look at it, it's fermented wine, like with honey. So the honey is the base fermentable sugar.
Oh, so instead of using sugar,
right,
you're using honey.
Yeah.
Are you using any sugar at all?
We use zero. There's not even a sugar packet in our
really?
In our building. Yeah, it's all honey. That. We have honey everywhere. We go through probably, this year we'll probably go through about 20,000 pounds of honey at least.
So is that the difference between wine and mead is
instead
of sugar and...
Yeah, so the technical, like, we make wine and cider as well. It's all under a farm winery license in Indiana. It's a state-by-state kind of license. It's also farm winery status or winery status for the federal agencies. But essentially we can make wine... and it's considered a wine, but it's an other than standard wine is a technical term, which is a mead. And what makes honey different is all other wine, like cider is technically a wine. It's made from fruit. So wine, the definition of that is fermented fruit, whereas beer is fermented grains, whereas sake is fermented, you know, rice. Mm. So you have those distinctions. Now, with us, when you use honey, it's not a fruit and it's not a grain. It's an agricultural product, and essentially it's bee vomit. So,
yeah, never. I like it on my. Yeah. I like it on my pancakes.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So, and the sugar in honey is about 82% usually on average, and it's a lot of sugar in there, and there's a lot of you know, pollen and different things that get mixed in, and different complex sugars that aren't in, you know, not the sucrose and your standard table sugar, and not some of the simple sugars that are in a lot of the fruits. Now, we take that to a different level. Like, you had the BBA wildflower, the one that was aged in a bourbon barrel. That's just honey that we...
That was very good.
Yeah, we dilute it with water. It's a traditional mead, so to speak. That would be a term for it. And all of the alcohol comes from the honey. All of the sweetness comes from the honey. And the only other flavors present in it are from the bourbon barrel that we had in for 5 months. Hmm. So that's a traditional mead aged in a bourbon barrel.
That was very smooth.
Which one was that?
That was the one that had really no fruit. It was just basically honey and the water and age in a barrel.
I might try that really quick.
Yeah, you should do that.
You got to take off on me here?
Uh-oh, he's gone.
He's gone. So, okay, so for everyone out there, so a mead is the honey is the sugar.
Yeah, it has to be at least 51%, right. And there's no, you know, governing body on this, but this seems to be a pretty standard acceptable thing. So, for example, we had a pineapple raspberry over there. We had a blood orange. No, we didn't have that one. We had a pineapple raspberry, and then there's a mojito one that has limes in it. So you can add fruit with it, but as long as 51% or more of the fermentable sugars are honey, then we consider it a mead. And from there, there's a million classifications. A piment is grapes and honey. Mm. A cider is apple cider and honey. Methylgin is a spiced mead with no fruit, but just spices and honey.
So your cider, does that have honey in it too?
Our cider, we use only apples and then fruit. We don't use any honey in it.
Wow.
And you can use honey in cider. I've done it in the past. Maybe we will. I know a lot of folks who have meaderies who also make cider like to back sweeten with honey or maybe increase the sugar concentration with some honey. I've done it in the past. I like doing it. But we have so many other carbonated meads and different meads that I like to keep cider. So usually we use concentrated forms of Northern Spy or McIntosh apple to sweeten up cider if we need to. So it's basically just honey, apple, you know, honey substitute made out of apples, and it's just 100% concentrate from the different apples we use. All the apples we get fresh pressed from Indiana, Dowd's Orchard in Denver, Indiana. And the best apple cider, believe it or not, comes in right now and through the end of March, because they cold store all the late apples in giant cold storage barns in the country there. And, you know, they pick them all up and put them in bins, and then they press them about once a month in the winter. And what that does is it naturally freezes the apples. It sort of concentrates some of the sugars. It breaks down some of the cell walls. And when you press it, you get just a really nice high sugar content mature apple cider. So
I mean, I went back to folks. I went into his production area. It looks like everything's brand new in there.
Yeah.
It looks beautiful. Everything's in stainless, nice and shiny. I was able to comb. I wasn't combing my hair, but I was able to see my reflection in the vats. How many different vats do you have?
So at this point, we have three jacketed fermenters. One is a 2,000 liter. We do liters in wine, which is approximately 540 gallons-ish, 550 gallons. Then we have two 1,100 liters, which is about 280 gallons. And then we have three 40-gallon pilot patch ones, and then a bunch of stainless holding tanks that we use because, you know, wine goes through several processes of moving to another fermenter, moving to another one to rack out sediment and let stuff fall out of it and mature. So
we got a caller, don't we, Jose?
Yes, we do. We have Brenda from Highland. Hello, Brenda.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Hey, Brenda.
Not as good as us because we've been drinking this mead. But
I know. Honey makes such a great mead.
Have you had this mead before?
Yeah, actually, my husband Mark and I just started going there maybe about 3 weeks ago, and it is fantastic. My husband just can't say more things that are great about it, and just wanted to let all the people out there listening know that this place is really awesome. A lot of people think that all mead is just so sweet and just really pungent on the flavor, but Tony's done so many great things with creating all of these different meads and his cider, and the wines have been great. So We're just really happy for them, and it's a great place to go to. Unfortunately, we're about 25, 30 minutes away, so whenever he decides he wants to open a second place out here, we'll be happy to help him with that. But but anyway, I just wanted to call him.
What's your favorite? What do you go to?
Well, you know what? He had the bourbon barrel one.
That's
the
one I like.
Wildflower.
The wildflower.
Yep, we had that when it was on draft. It was excellent, so we bought a couple bottles and are savoring those. But but anyway, yeah, that's a great one. We're waiting for his new one coming out. I think it's something with chocolate and cherries, so hopefully that'll be coming out pretty soon.
Were you one that got a sample of that?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Brenda, actually, you met him at the time of conception, basically. I mean, he's only been open for about 10 weeks, so you must have got in there kind of early.
You know, we like I said, it's only been about 3 weeks or so since we've been going, but I saw it online on Facebook right around mid-December whenever they first opened up, and I told my husband about it, and we finally got a chance to make it out there, and now it looks like we're trying to head out there every weekend when we get a chance.
So you know what we're going to do? What Tony's going to do is we're going to send you out a gift card to Matic Meat out of Crown Point. And a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery, which we're in Winfield, which is right down the street, sort of. And give you, you can come by the restaurant, get something to eat, and fill yourself up, and travel right down to the Matic Mead, which is maybe 15 minutes away, and get some good meat to help you digest all that good food.
Oh, that sounds great. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you, Brenda. Thanks
so
for the comment.
Thank you, Brenda.
Bye-bye.
Folks,
I
want you to call in 769-9577 at 769-9577. You know, believe it or not, time is going by fast. And give Tony a call from Matic Mead out of Crown Point. Who do you got there?
All right. Our next caller is Joel from Maryville.
Hey, Joel. Hello?
Hi, Joel. Are you there?
Oh.
Hi, Joel. Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. How you doing?
All right. Good, good. Yourself?
So you got a question here for Tony, the Mead Man?
Mead Man. I know nothing about mead, but I'm definitely going to check it out because I have the CD in my car, and I lost the CD case or cover for it. And I was listening to the interview, and you said the band's name, Groovatron.
Yeah.
And that's the CD that I had in the car that I lost the case. I've been trying to find out what was the name of the band, and I heard it. So great music, and if the food is as good as the music, I should be in for a good time.
So have you ever had mead before?
I have never had mead before.
Do you like a good glass of wine?
I do.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to send you, Tony, some who's this? Oh, Joe, right? Sorry.
Yeah.
I was looking at Tony. We're going to send you a gift card out to Matic Meat out in Crown Point and one to Chef Nick's Eatery out in Winfield. And it'll give you a good afternoon. Like I said, stop by the eatery and get something to eat and then drive on down to the Matic Meat in Crown Point and pick up some good glasses of wine.
All right.
Yeah,
and
while you're out there, if I'm around, you ask for Tony, but I got a pile of old Groovatron CDs that I give to people if they ask me, so you can get a few more CDs while you're out there, too.
Oh, that'll be awesome, man. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in.
All right, thanks. Bye.
So when you're making the mead, what temperature you try to bring it up to?
Well, I look at – it really depends on the yeast and the fruits involved and all sorts of different factors. And there's a large science variant in that. And different yeast like different temperatures. So we use glycol – jacketed glycol chilling in our stainless fermenters that allow us to bring the temperature down as low as almost near freezing.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, like cider, we ferment in the 50s. Mead, depending on the yeast strain, will ferment all the way up to the 80s, depending on the yeast strain. But it's kind of like, just a different paintbrush.
Can I make bread out of this yeast?
No. Well, I don't think so, no.
You
can make mead out of bread yeast, though, and
oh,
usually
really?
The results are a little sketchy, but it's been done, and there's a lot of internet tutorials on. I would tell anyone out there trying to use bread yeast to make mead, just come by the meadery, and I'll give you a little sachet of yeast for free that'll do you better. So
what when you start the brewing process, to the bottling process, how long does it take? I mean,
so something like a carbonated mead, like the mojito you had,
another thing.
Or one
I've
of those.
Never had a carbonated mead.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like anything else. You can, it's like a sparkling wine. You can add bubbles, different levels of bubbles. Pédillon, a French term we use, which is a slightly carbonated mead, which comes out of old post-fermentation bubbles that happen in old French styles of winemaking. And you can get super carbonated and sparkling levels. You can do bottle conditioning, like champagne style.
I like the carbonated stuff. I never had.
So
it like
that stuff is made out of a big base mead, and then we separate those batches out, and then do all the botanicals and the fruits in them, and sort of customize them to those flavors. And those usually we can turn them around in about 2 to 3 months.
Oh wow! And then, so you really got to plan out. It's not something you just like me. I want to make a sauce. Yeah. I go in a pan and I just whip up.
Well,
the
and
sauce.
You know, it's really with science we can really make the time shorter. But if we had our druthers, we would wait. You know, 6 months to a year for a lot of this stuff. It does improve with age, but with modern techniques, we can really make that time go down to where it's very drinkable, and you can let it develop even to a better level if you can hold on to it for a while.
Well, we got another caller, Tony.
Excellent.
All right, we have Dale from Portage with us right now. Dale, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. So first off, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling
in. Oh, of course. I've only had a little bit of mead, and I enjoy the flavor, but it's a little bit on the sweet side. I'm wondering if you've ever experimented with, like, adding hops or anything maybe to add a little bit more bitterness or to take away from the sweetness, or if that's, like, taboo. I'm just curious because I do a little bit of home brewing, so I'm just interested in if you guys have experimented with that.
Well, it's a great question. I'll say before I get to the hop thing, right now we have a mead on tap that we used Earl Grey tea in. And so, you know, Earl Grey tea is a black tea from, imported from India in general, from England. And you have the bergamot, which is a relative of the orange zest in there, and it gives it a very orange oil, almost lavender kind of note. And, you know, it's a very familiar tea, and tea has natural tannin in it, so you get a lot of that kind of bitter tannin from it that really grabs your tongue. And that one we made, and we were thinking about sweetening it, but we ended up leaving it bone dry. And then if you're a brewer, the finishing gravity is 997, so 0.997. Zero sugar in it, and it's tannic.
It's cold. Yeah. It's cold words.
So it's fantastically dry, and it literally tastes like a 12% alcohol tea. It's kind of crazy. And some people blend it with our lemon tea and make like an Earl Palmer and all kinds of different things like that. Hop wise, unless you do a boil hop, you're not going to get as much of the bitterness units that you would in beer. So we are planning on doing some session, almost like gluten free beer like things, but there'll be no grains in them because we're not allowed to use grains with our winery license. So we do plan on working on some bitterness units with hops. We both love hops. We love beer. So as close as we can get to it, we will be working on that probably for the summer. We'll have some stuff on draft, but there'll always be a few things that are on the drier side that we'll have, and all the way up to the dessert sweet side. So we kind of run the whole gamut. And I never really liked any sort of sweet wines until I discovered mead and realized most of the sweet wines I didn't like were just full of fake sugar.
Right.
And
this
they weren't
is different.
Balanced.
This is smooth.
Yeah,
this
I was
going
to say that too.
This is just
a
real great expression of all the fruits. And we only use, you know, the best stuff you can find and spices and fruits. So even, you know, I might not, some of our big dessert stuff, I might not drink a big glass of it, but a couple ounces after dinner is a nice change of pace, you know. But on the summer day, I'm going to drink a dry cider. We also have a dry cider that's pretty much bone dry as well. So there's some things that are drier there. Plus, we have red wines that are dry and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah, what was the wine you brought in that was kind of?
It's a Carmenere. It's actually made by a friend of ours, Charles Crespi in Ohio, who has a winery called Luvabella. He's a head winemaker there, and he made that a while ago and had a hard time selling it because the Carmenere is not like a really touristy.
Right.
But
it's drying.
Yeah, it is. It's bone dry. It's about 15.5% alcohol. It's a 2014 vintage. It's fantastic. That's one of our favorite red wines. We saw a lot of it, and it's got a really nice, like, tobacco, white pepper kind of note on the end. It's great with steak. So
Dale, did that answer some of your question?
Yes, it did. You said you guys are located in Crown Point?
Right on Summit.
Yeah, on Summit between Indiana and Broadway, right next to City Electric, Niemeyer's Landscape, right before Indiana.
So I'm going to entice you to go there. So we're going to send you a gift card to Matic Mead out of Crown Point there, and a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery out of Winfield.
That is awesome. I look forward to trying it.
You know what? I thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thank you, Dale.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah, ask for Tony when you come in. I'll show you around.
All right. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
We have somebody else on the line?
Oh, we do, actually. Hold on, let me get him on. We have Mr. David from Crown Point who has something to say.
Mr. David. Hello?
David, are you still with us?
Hello?
Yes. How are you doing?
Doing very well.
You got a question for Tony, the mead man?
Yes, I do. I was, it was more, I just wanted to call up and show some support for Manic and all the listeners out there. If they haven't checked out Manic, definitely worth something to come see and experience all the wonderful flavors he has offered.
Now, have you been there? Have you visited?
Yeah, I visited, and I've become friends with Tony, and he's actually inspired me to start reading about mead and mead making and to develop a better understanding of how mead's made. And I think I might try making a batch myself at some point.
Tony, what do you suggest him making that batch in other than the bathtub?
Well, if I'm pretty sure this is Bundy, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So Dave is an awesome friend and customer, and he's pretty much the guy you want on your kickball team. He's just a fantastic person, and I think anything he needs to make mead and he can find at the meadery, and I'll let him take home with him.
Does that sound good?
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Because okay. It really inspired me to, you know, read up about it and have a better understanding about the product.
That's fantastic.
So what we're going to do is send you out a gift card to Matic Meadery out of Crown Point and one to Chef Nick's Eatery.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for listening.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks, David.
Folks, thanks for joining us here on 89.1 FM. It's Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick, and we have Jose sitting here on the boards helping me out. And we have Tony from Matic Meadery out of Crown Point. And, you know, you brought these samples in. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it? Even though they got pretty much all drank up.
They got demolished nicely.
They got demolished
nicely.
I see
a few folks sneaking back in for third G's.
I think some of the bottles are gone even.
There's a lot fewer now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll tell you one thing. I mean, I don't know the science behind it, but it's generally a really nice, euphoric, friendly, happy sort of buzz you get off of off the mead. And, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's nice. I won't say never, but we rare to find a person that gets disgruntled unless they normally can't handle themselves to begin with.
Now, but, I have a question. Yeah. Now, so when I associate mead, I don't know why. I think of like Renaissance, like armored people clashing, giant like mugs. Like,
yeah.
Does that have anything to do with like the
I think probably mead became kind of a royalty drink in Europe and for the kings because honey was very expensive to come by. Mm-hmm. And grain and grapes, traditional fermentables that were used for mass production, were more available to the common person, and the farmers were making that. But honey wasn't really cultivated, or at least gathered as easy. It was a very difficult thing. And then when the honey, you know, when someone could risk it to find the hives and climb up the trees, they would sell it to the highest bidder, which was usually royalty. So that's what happened. And then it kind of phased out for many years and became, you know, but there's a huge tradition in Poland. And, you know, of course, the Nordic countries, there's a tradition in mead. And then, you know, a lot with media and television, with, you know, Game of Thrones and Vikings, the series and things like that. You know, you start with the horn, you know, the mead horn and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You start have that sort of nostalgia, and certainly mead was consumed by them. Mead was consumed by the Japanese, the Chinese, the Russians, and you know, the Africans, and all over the world basically. So wherever there was pollinating insects called bees, there was mead.
Wow.
And so we've seen a renaissance. In fact, I think the United States, I don't have the numbers at this point because I haven't had time to do the research, but I would say that the amount of mead we're growing and what we're doing for it in the modern way, we'll call it the modern mead movement, where we're pushing it to different levels and even really defining different styles of it because it's a very broad category. You can do so much with it. It's influencing the rest of internationally. It's an influence. It's influencing the heritage of mead making all over the world. You know, we have a competition coming up called Mazer Cup that, you know, has entries from all over the world, and France, Poland, you know, just everywhere, South Africa. I mean, you'll just get mead makers entering from everywhere, just kind of like the American homebrew competition. So once again, America's taken something and pushed it to the extreme and, you know, innovated it.
That's really awesome.
Well, you know, you brought some great samples. Now, you have one that had a little bit of cinnamon flavor. Tell us about that one.
Okay, so that one is actually just was poured out of our bottle line, so it wasn't officially bottled. We bottled all the corked bottles a couple of days ago, but it's the Chernobyl series, which is a no-water cherry mead. Everything is based on cherries. So that one is Balaton cherries from Traverse City area up in Michigan, and they're a tart cherry. So when you're looking for a fruit for a big sweet dessert mead, you really want to look for something that has complexity. So, mm-hmm. you know, with cherries, you get enough acidity, you get obviously enough sugar, and then you're also going to get, depending on if you use the pit or not, and the skins, you're going to get a little bit of that tannin. So it's the trinity combined with the alcohol of balance. So cherries are great. Fermentable. If you go with sweet cherries, sometimes you get more of a medicinal Robitussin vibe. Mm-hmm. So tart cherries usually work really great, and the honey brings in plenty of extra sweetness. So that one is basically Balaton cherries, and all the liquid in it comes from the cherries themselves. And
you
then,
like that?
I think I chose the right one. It was unlabeled.
Yeah. So. and then after that, after it's done its thing for about 4 months, we add organic Madagascar vanilla beans, and I mean it's the best vanilla beans you can buy.
That's good,
and that's Indonesian cinnamon.
Yeah, I'm drinking
so,
it right now.
Yeah, it's the red hot you're getting. Ceylon cinnamon and other cinnamons are different. They have different. I mean, there's dozens of different varieties of just cinnamon bark.
Dude, I mean, like something like that, I can see putting on reducing that and putting it on something.
you can almost pour it over ice cream.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah. Do you offer any cooking suggestions? With
you know, not yet. Not yet. I'm mostly into pairing with things that exist, you know, food wise. Like eventually we're going to be adding charcuterie, and we'll have mm-hmm. some food trucks hopefully this summer in the parking lot. If we ever expand, we want to do more food. It's going to be simple food, mm-hmm. but it'll be high quality food and very well thought out. Right now you can bring your own food in, which I encourage folks to do all the time. You can bring a crock pot from home. I tell people.
See, folks, you can call in, get the gift card from Chef Nick's, and then go to the meadery.
Yeah.
769-9577. You know, we only have like 10 minutes left, too.
I think I got a couple more gift cards here, too.
We can go for another hour. Just
I know. I haven't even finished any of my notes. You just want to go another hour so you can drink some more, Jose. So what's the one you had that had the pineapple? That was smooth.
Yeah, so that's a... that's basically raspberries and pineapple, and that was something I just whipped up. We had an empty spot on our tap lines, needed some more things before we bottled, and kind of whipped that up one night, and it just turned out good.
It's very good.
That was made with a base mead, and then we use a pineapple concentrate and a raspberry concentrate to kind of balance out that fruit with it. But all the fermentable sugars in that one are from honey, mm-hmm. and then the sweetening sugars are from concentrated fruits.
Yeah, but when I was there, he had the van. It was full of berries.
Oh, did you see it with the big...
And I just wanted to, take a spoon and just eat the berries out of there. I mean, it looked so fresh.
Yeah, so, we're not opposed to using any natural ingredients, anything that's good. So, basically... Our like the Chernobyl turnover that I said that you tried with that cinnamon and cherry and vanilla is what we're releasing it next week with our Vanilla Elliot, which is a blueberry mead, orange blossom, honey, and vanilla. And then also Shorty Cakes, which is a strawberry vanilla mead, dominant on vanilla. Kind of reminds you of like the whipped cream and
like a dreamsicle
glaze kind of end of a sponge cake. If you have a strawberry shortcake, it's a little lighter in body.
So, how many meads do you have on tap? I noticed you had taps like a bar tap. How many do you have? How many do you offer
right now? I think we have 10 meads, 6 ciders, 2 wines on tap, but then an additional 8 wines in bottles.
But so
we're actually adding 10 more taps.
So you basically are you going to add 10
more? Yeah, we're adding 10 more. Yes.
Well, what's the shelf life on me? Like if I was to get a bottle, how long does that last?
Well, we do these flip tops now.
That's a cool item. The flip tops.
It's pretty much a $375 flip top for meads because meads a little more expensive and it's more higher in alcohol. So we have the option that for people to mix it up, get a smaller bottle. We charge cost for the bottles, which is about $2, and then you can refill it like a growler, and then. The prices vary based on the mead mm-hmm. and then the larger ones for the cider. But basically that allows everyone to have stuff on tap because we flip through stuff. We do small batches all the time, and we kind of really want to make a destination for locals to come and get something new every week.
So Tony, you make these small batches, but they take 2 months to make.
Oh, at least, yeah.
So you're like making the, you're like really
like the berry
this.
One that you saw is going to be more like a 6-month mead. Some will take up to a year. Yeah.
We got a caller.
All right.
Who do you got, Jose?
We do have a caller, and it's Stephanie all the way from Lowell.
Stephanie, how are you doing?
I am doing fine, enjoying an actual almost warm day.
Well, enjoy the last warm day, and then when it gets cold, you're going to need to get some mead.
It's pretty warm here.
Yes,
feels good. So well, you got a question?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm sorry. I'm only catching like the last 20 minutes of your show, so you may have already discussed this. Are meads, you know, I know a lot about history. They generally are warm drinks, or are they ever chilled?
Good question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a personal preference thing more than anything. And for me, I generally drink almost all my mead unless it's a lighter, sparkling, carbonated kind of thing. I generally drink them at room temperature. Now, the reason I do this is because room temperature hides nothing, and you can get all the flavors at room temperature. So usually my drinking these days is evaluating, as a winemaker, it's evaluating things that are developing and that I'm making. So if it tastes good at room temperature, it's certainly going to taste good chilled or cold or however cold you want to go. Because generally, in general, cold kind of hides off flavors a lot easier, makes things smooth out a little bit, kind of numbs your senses a little bit. So it can still taste really good, but you're not going to get all those nuances and taste a lot of the things that the winemaker may be looking for. So I don't think there's a wrong way to do it. I think if you like it chilled or if you like it cold, then go nuts. A lot of times I'll start more chilled and then I'll let it warm up and open up if I'm enjoying someone else's meat or something I never had before and kind of taste it through a spectrum of different temperatures. At the tasting room, we serve our carbonated meads and our lighter meads around 45 degrees. So when they get to you, they're about 50, kind of in the white wine temperature zone. And then the reserve meads, we serve pretty much almost room temp around 60 degrees. And then ciders, we serve pretty cold, right around 35.
Stephanie, you like drinking meads?
Yeah, to be honest, I've only had it one time ever. And it was okay.
Yeah.
You know, because I was just trying to try it. But I've never gone anywhere where they actually create their own meat.
So what we're going to do, Tony has given me a gift card to Manic Meat out of Crown Point right off of Summit Street. And we're going to give you a chance to try some really good meat. This stuff was good, very good. So we're going to send you out a gift card to Manic Meat out of Crown Point and a gift card to Chef Nick Cedery out of Winfield.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And how long have you been there?
10 weeks.
Ten weeks.
Pardon? It's actually a year today when we took occupancy. This is our one-year anniversary of occupancy. but we've only been open for 10 weeks.
Wow.
It took us about 9 months to build it out and prepare with all the batches and whatnot to get rolling. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, like, how large is your, like, you know, tasting,
we
drinking
seat about
area?
50-ish people. About 1,600 square feet with a bar, two bathrooms, and then we have about 1,600 square foot of production facility.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Stephanie.
And, and good luck.
Call right. in again, okay?
Thank you. We'll see you
thank
soon,
you, Stephanie.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So you were thinking about doing any live entertainment, anything like that there?
Yeah, as a musician, that's certainly going to happen. It's probably going to be pretty mellow. I really dig jazz a lot. I like singer-songwriter acoustic stuff. So with that room, I think that's what's going to end up happening. When we start developing our staff here and hiring by the summer, I'd like to have a nice little new day we open that's like a music night, maybe a Wednesday. We'll add a day to our schedule so we can have a dedicated night for music. And then if we do stuff outdoors, which I do have plans for as long as I can clear it, obviously, with the landlords, the city and the state mm-hmm. and the feds and the da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
If that all happens, I'm going to do festivals and stuff and different events outside, and I'll definitely be cranking it up if that happens.
So do you sell any wine in the barrel still?
Oh, no.
No barrels of wine?
No, we do sell kegs of cider and mead. So
oh, do you?
People have the ability to tap them. We can always help them out, but we do sell kegs if you're interested for like a summer party or some cider. We do that.
So what's the high-end alcohol value you have, the highest alcohol?
The highest alcohol that we've released was called Nordic Quad, and that was about 17.5%. And it was very, very popular to the point where we're making a second very large batch and plan on having it available almost always as like a flagship soon.
So, Tony, we got our last caller of the day. And who we got there, Jose?
Yep, one more quick statement from Julie, and she's out of Crown Point.
Hi, Julie, out of Crown Point. How are you doing?
Hi, Julie, are you there? Hi, Julie.
Yes.
How you doing?
Can you hear me?
Oh, we can hear you loud and clear. Hey.
Okay, good.
You got a question for Tony?
I'm just wondering when the next batch is coming in.
Well, we have our release coming up a week from tomorrow. I didn't really get a chance to announce it yet, but I'll at least have something by the end of this weekend or on Monday, and we'll be releasing everything on Saturday. It's Chernobyl Turnover, Vanilla Elliot, and Shorty Cakes.
So,
the Vanilla Elliot, that's the one.
That'll be there, yep.
Now, have you ever been to the meadery?
I sure have.
Now, isn't it cool, their logo? You like their logo with the dizzy-looking bee or whatever he is?
I love that. I love the...
I really
the
do little, like that.
It is. It's unique. It's very cool.
So, Tony, who came up with that?
It was Holly Senchak, a longtime family friend. She designed it, and I told her to design basically a crazy bee version of me.
Okay. Well, we're going to send you out a gift. We're running out of time here. We're going to send you out a gift card to Matic Meadery out of Crown Point and Chef Nick's Eatery. This will be the last caller. Who do we
Thanks,
got there,
Julie.
Jose? Thank you.
Thank you. All right. One more caller, Diane.
Hi, Diane. Where are you from, Diane?
Hi. I'm from St. John's.
Okay. And you have a question for and you know what? After you're done, hold on to the line because Jose's going to have to get your address, okay? So you got a question for Tony?
Okay. Well, I don't have a question. True story. I used to be Keith Cantwell's Sunday school teacher. And so I've known Keith for a really long time. And having been to Ireland and drinking some mead, I was really excited when he talked about opening the meadery. And so I don't know, my husband and I were probably one of the first customers to come in. We bought that, introductory, offering and, we are pretty much there every weekend. So
you are,
Tony,
and we love seeing you.
Yes. Yeah. Tony, Keith, you guys are like family now. We're going to have to start inviting you to, all the holidays and things, but only as long as you bring the mead.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to have Jose get your address real quick. I'm sorry, we're just kind of running out of time here.
That's all right.
And we're going to send you.
Congratulations,
yep,
guys.
It's great product, too. We're going to send you out a gift card to Matic Meadery and to Chef Nick's Eatery out of Winfield.
Awesome. Thanks. We'll see you tomorrow.
It sounds great.
And hold on one moment.
Hold on for your address.
Thanks,
we get your address.
See you tomorrow.
So, Tony, you got a minute here. Give us a wrap-up about your place.
Well, we made this place to provide something in Northwest Indiana and specifically Lake County and Crown Point that didn't exist, and we're very, very, very humbled by the community who comes out. One of the best parts about this is getting to know the community and all the folks around it. And Crown Point's a wonderful town, and as well as the surrounding areas. And we're Indiana boys, and we plan on staying here and bringing what we
Indiana
can.
Indiana town.
That's it.
Hey, tell us the Facebook and website.
Manic Meadery. That's both Instagram and Facebook. So just at Manic Meadery. So it's MANICMEADERY. And you can message us through there and keep track of our progress. We post, you know, usually daily or every other day. So,
Location?
1003 East Summit Street. That's Unit 3, which you will see a sign, Manic Meadery. It's next to, right in between City Electric and Blacklisted Tattoos. That's our homeboys, and they're awesome. And we'll see you then.
Okay. Well, Jose, we want to thank Tony from Manic Meadery.
You definitely
great,
have
great
a
hour.
Customer coming up.
Yeah.
Awesome. Definitely check out
great stuff.
Your
I want to thank Jose for sitting in for Sharon Jackson today here.
No problem.
Thank
and
you,
I
Jose.
Want to, yeah, thank you, Tony. And I want to thank the listeners out there for calling in to Let's Eat, you know, with me and with Jose. And we encourage everyone to go to all the new businesses that are coming out in this Northwest Indiana area. They're all exciting. They're not the old mother and father type of businesses. They're all new. They're all progressive. And I encourage everyone to go to the Matic Meadery in Crown Point right off of Summit Street. Get some meadery. Enjoy your day. And I want everyone to be safe out there. And Jose will be tuning in next week here on Let's See on 89.1 FM.
Next week.
Lakeshore
Tuesday,
Public
yep.
Radio. Ciao.
I'll be listening.